Hey, what are you doing here? You're the last person I expected to find here. I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked. But, thank you. So as long as you're here, listen to this.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I'm glad you're here, actually.
Whatever.
Sorta.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
It's true.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Ron Van Dam. Hey, welcome to the program. I was kidding at the beginning of the show. I'm happy that you're here. Oh, God. I hate lying like that. Well, you know... I got the mail on Saturday, which happens on Saturdays. I wish the post office would deliver on Sundays, which they kind of do if it's special delivery or something important. But I like seeing the postman, the letter carrier. I like seeing them. It just reminds me of Middle America. It's like a Norman Rockwell picture. It's just that postal employee with the little leather bag over their shoulders. I think it's canvas now or backpack. I don't know what it is. Walking down the street, whistling, being bitten by dogs. I love that. I love that. Little kids running up and taunting them. Or that little mail truck. Remember when you were a kid, they had a little metal mail truck, you know, the white and red and blue thing. And it was, when you see those little trucks, it's like, they look like little toys. They look like little Tonka trucks, don't they? Ron, you're getting way too excited. Calm down. Anyway, I love the postal employees. I think they're fantastic people. And on Friday's show, I don't know if you remember this. You probably don't remember anything. I don't remember anything from Friday. I don't even remember if I wore shoes on Friday. I'm not sure I did. But I can't remember. But on Friday, we actually had the head of the United States Post Office Safety Division talking about being bitten by dogs, letter carriers being bitten by dogs. I'd be more concerned about being bitten by people. Can you imagine delivering mail to Mike Tyson's house? Oh, my God. He could bite you. He could bite your ear off. Screw the dogs. What about Tyson? Anyway, I go to the mailbox and I get my mail, and that's always an adventure. It's like something to do. You know, no matter how busy your day is, whether you have 5 part-time jobs or, you know, you're a mother of 12, and by the way, whose fault is that? You know, if you have 12 kids... I would suggest you run down to Home Depot and buy some cement because, seriously, that should be finished. Anyway, everybody's got time to go to the mailbox and thumb through the mail. It's just like fun. It's just good times. People are connecting with me, but I don't have to see them or touch them or smell them. They're just sending me correspondence. I don't mind that at all, unless it's an invoice. There was a time in my life where I was getting a lot of collection letters. You know what I did with them? I collected them. I just put them in a basket and threw them away. You know, When I found out one day that all you literally legally have to do if you owe somebody money is set up a payment plan of $1 a month, when I found that out, my life changed. Because that's when the attorneys contacted me. But anyway, so I'm thumbing through the mail, and I do a throwaway pile, which is usually junk mail, and I do a keep it pile, which is usually invoices and things that I may be interested in, you know? You know what I mean? So I'm going through that, and there's this one envelope that's rather heavy. It feels like there's something inside. Here's the fun thing about post office deliveries, about finding mail in your mailbox. Sometimes some companies just send you gifts for no reason whatsoever. Maybe you'll get a free umbrella because you donate it to something. Or maybe you'll get like those address labels that you can put on your envelope so you don't have to write out your return address all the time. That gets really, really tedious. I mean, I know where I live. Why do I have to keep telling people this on my envelope? So the address, oh, they're fun. They're nice. And there's little pictures of cats on them or a flower. Oh, it's beautiful. And sometimes you get little gifts like a free pen. Oh, my life has changed, a free pen. Lottery, screw that. I got a free pen. That's more important to me. But Friday, I got something that I didn't expect. Now, every once in a while, I'll get a letter from the March of Dimes. March of Dimes is a charity outfit, as you probably know, and they combat certain diseases with your help. Otherwise, these people will not live. You know, so I'll open up the envelope and I'll find a dime inside. And I complained about it on the air so many times because I think it's such a stupid, stupid policy to send people dimes in the mail and make them feel guilty so that they'll send you like $10 back if they send you a dime. So you're taking a big chance. Because if you kept all your dimes, you could probably have enough money to actually solve the disease. And isn't that the point of this whole thing? Why are you sending out money to people to make them feel guilty? So I remember on my radio show 8 years ago, I actually did an interview with the March of Dimes, and we were in a commercial break, and before we did the interview, my producer says, Ron wants to talk to you for just a second, he has a question for you. And I get on the phone with the March of Dimes lady. She's like the head of the dimes. And I said, can I ask you a question? And I won't ask you this on the air, but I'm very, very curious about this. Why do you send out dimes? I'm sure I'm not the only person you send a dime to in the mail all the time. You probably like send out like 500,000 or a million of these dimes. If you kept those dimes, wouldn't you have enough money to pay for the disease? And she said, that's a fair question, Ron. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you. But what's the answer? What's the fair answer? And she says, this is the reason we do this, because when people get a dime in the mail, they feel like, well, we went to the trouble of sending them a dime. The least they can do is send us more dimes or send us a check for something. And it actually works. We actually get a lot of money from the people that we send dimes to. It's a very good promotion. It's a very effective way of getting donations. And I said, oh, now I could have pursued the argument because I still think it's a stupid way of getting them. But I said, oh, and I continued and I did my interview with the lady and everything was fine. Everything's fine up to now. I'm still angry that the March of Dimes sends out dimes to people in the mail in order to get them to feel guilty to send more money back to the March of Dimes. I still think it's a stupid, manipulative way of doing business. However, Friday reached a new pinnacle in my begrudgedness. I open up the envelope. I don't think it was from the March of Dimes. It was from somebody else, and I don't remember whom, because I immediately threw the envelope out, and then, there was something heavy inside. I open it up. I kid you not, pasted on a card inside this envelope, 4 brand new shiny quarters. $1. $1. Some charity sends me $1. 4 quarters. And You know how I feel about this. I've just told you it reached a new height of stupidity to me. Now, if you're sending out 500,000 envelopes to people to make them donate, you've just spent $500,000. You've sent out $500,000. You better keep your fingers crossed and hope most of them are so religiously guilty that they'll send you maybe $10 back. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of the angry ones. My immediate reaction was, "Oh, I got to call these people and blast them." But I couldn't find out which charity it was. Because I do donate, but not when I'm manipulated to do so, only when I move to do so. I couldn't figure out who it was. And I said to myself, I shouldn't be pocketing these four quarters. That's not right, although it would teach them a lesson. Hey, you sent me four quarters in the mail. Thank you. I didn't ask for it. You sent it to me. Thank you. You want to play these little games with me? You want to try to tantalize me and play with my mind and my emotions? Go for it. Thanks for the dollar. But something inside me said, Ron, don't do that. That's not right. No matter how confused, mad, frustrated, incensed you may be, it's just not right for you to pocket four quarters when that was not the intent. Well, smack my mom and send me to church. I'm sorry. So what I did was, and I know this is wrong, and excuse me for doing it. There are these three ladies that work at a Dunkin' Donuts, which is housed inside of a 7-Eleven. Dunkin' Donuts has taken their business to new heights by not only doing brick-and-mortar Dunkin' Donuts only blocks away from each other, now they're invading various stores and having little Dunkin' Donuts counters in these convenience stores. These three ladies are wonderful ladies. Two of them are on the elderly side, one of them quite young. They're making minimum wage, maybe. They are so sweet and so adorable. Now, I don't drink coffee every day. I don't go in there every day. But when I do, they are so friendly. They make me feel so good. And I happen to have wanted a little container of coffee that day. I usually don't. That day I did. I took those four quarters out of my pocket and I put them in the tip jar. I know these ladies, they've talked about, one of them has two children and she's a single mom. The other is trying to raise enough, she's putting herself through school, through college. I mean, these people have nothing. They're at jobs that they pour coffee all day or heat up an egg and a muffin. I mean, set the bar a little higher, but they're trying to. So I donated the four quarters to them. I felt good about that. They don't have any diseases that I know of. Maybe they do, but I don't know. But I paid it forward. I don't know what that phrase means. I don't know how you pay things backward. I don't get that thing at all. You pay the money into the future? I don't know what paying it forward really means. I think I do, but I think I don't. So I gave it to somebody else. Now it's their problem. I don't know what charity sent me the four quarters. But if you're familiar with this charity, if you got four quarters in the mail as well, let me know who they are, because I'd love to call them up and just ask them so sincerely, what the hell are you thinking? What are you thinking? You can reach me by email. It's the only way I care to be reached. RonVandamShow@gmail.com. RonVandamShow@gmail.com. There, You can drop me a line and tell me what charity it is that sends out the four quarters. Now, please, only if you know, let's not play games here. And I will handily call them and I will report to you our conversation. Maybe they'll want to come on the air with me to promote their charity. I don't know. But I need to pursue this. Most of life, I don't care about. I don't care about why people do things. It frustrates me. I will talk about it on the air, but I don't really care that much, other than the frustration level that it has caused me in my daily life. But things like that, just so much to me, don't make sense, no matter how they are explained to me. When the March of Dimes explained why they send dimes in the mail, I heard their explanation. I hear you. But now you have confused me even more. So, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts. Am I a horrible person? You know, that's not up for debate. Sure I am. I'm just as bad as you are. Maybe not in that category, but you suck in categories too, and you know it. You've got some downsides to you. I know that. We all know that. Your friends know that. I have no problem with you. I don't have a problem with you either. We're just all human. Well, you are. I'm not. Oh! All right. Come on. I didn't call anybody a basket of deplorables. I didn't go that far. Speaking of basket of deplorables, let's go to the White House. Look at them all running around. Look at them running around the Oval Office. Look at them. Watch out for that seltzer bottle, Don. Oh no. Oh, look, they're all upset about everything. Look at them. Look at them. They don't know what to do. Look at them. Hey, watch out. Don't answer the door. It could be a subpoena. Careful. Don't answer that door. Funny. Look at Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Look at her. Look at her. She doesn't know what to do. She's love it. Oh, Sarah, seriously, you are so fantastic. Oh man, what a great show. It's funny until you do things that are serious, like you know, trying to take care of the North Korea thing. That's not so funny. Getting involved in the Syrian conflict, that's really not a good idea. You don't know what you're doing. You're just reacting. You don't really have a plan. Wow, that's awful. And you're charging tariffs, or you're thinking about it, and it's going to screw up the economy. That is not funny either. Ooh, wow, I'm exhausted. Oh, man, the deficit has never been higher, which is going to send the economy in a tailspin. Republicans are supposed to be fiscally conservative, and yet they actually drive the debt deeper than it's ever been knowingly. It's not funny. It's not funny. Everybody's life savings are in the balance because of this stupid administration. That is so much not funny. Oh, my God. Oh. That's not funny. That's not funny at all. I think the only thing I can do at this point is hold up a picture of an adorable puppy dog. Aww. Yeah, I think that'll get us out of it. Yeah. You know the best thing about puppy dogs? They're not human beings. Aww. Mm-hmm. They eat when you say it's time to eat. When you call them, they come. when they pee, it's not on your face. So puppy dogs, not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said so many times, what human being will sit in your lap? None of them. Who would want to sit in your lap? Puppy dogs do. Do you ever have a person sit in your lap and lick your face? I don't think so. I don't think I would want to.
It was unbelievably painful.
Okay, that's enough of all of that. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. Maybe it's not.
To create each episode of The Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Well, thank you so much, Johnny. That's John Shanahan. Thank you so much. We have a very interesting guest today. Of course, that's a matter of opinion. Let's see if you agree. Do you know what horticulture is? I thought I did, and I kind of did, but I kind of didn't. Horticulture is a lot more than I thought, a lot more than just pouring water on a plant. There's a lot of science and technical stuff that I didn't know about. That's what I read in my interview copy, which I do so that when I speak to these people that I'm interviewing, I sound somewhat intelligent, not entirely, but somewhat intelligent enough to carry on a perhaps decent conversation and ask questions that might be pertinent to the topic of which I don't understand. So I read that copy, and I guess from what I understand, and we'll talk about this, there are jobs in pouring water on plants, which is certainly not just what this is. Let's speak to Susan. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. I'm excited to be talking to you today about bloom.
Yes, indeed. Well, Susan Yoder is the executive director of Seed Your Future, and we're talking about horticulture and job opportunities and getting involved in that field. When I think of horticulture, I think of picking up a rake and doing something with the land, but I guess it goes further than that.
It does indeed. In fact, horticulture is the art, science, technology, and business of plants. And really, you know, we're living in a time of great disconnection with plants. Plants are everywhere, yet plants are nowhere.
Yeah.
And this plant blindness is especially significant among our nation's youth. So Bloom is our vibrant new youth-focused campaign designed to help young people unlock their potential of the plant world. And in the process, we hope that they'll introduce them to a lifelong passion for plants and perhaps even a career in horticulture. So we'd like to call Bloom the movement to improve the world through the power of plants.
Okay. I guess traditionally, if your family was in the business, then you kind of at least are introduced to it. But I guess there's so many more jobs opening up that doesn't seem to be sufficient anymore.
It's true. There has never been more opportunities to join the field of horticulture, but awareness is low. In fact, in the next 5 years, we anticipate there'll be about 58,000 jobs in horticulture becoming open annually, and only about 61% of them are expected to be filled, because there's just not enough qualified candidates for the careers in horticulture.
Now, give me an example of exactly this broad term horticulture. What are some of the job opportunities or job areas that will indeed be blossoming?
Mm-hmm. It really does expand across art, science, technology, and business. And what I like to say, it's everything from A to Z. It's from arborist to zoological horticulture and everything in between. So some of the emerging ones are things like folks who are interested in technology. There are careers working with robotics in greenhouses and drone technology, people who are working across fields using drones. There's a whole world of growth in hydroponics and aeroponics, people who are working really hard to figure out how are we going to grow enough food to feed our growing world. People who are researching cures for disease and solving some of the biggest environmental problems, such as pollution and drought and clean water and climate change. And finally, a whole area creating landscapes that aren't just beautiful, but really provide physical, social, and emotional health supports for people.
I did not know this. Does one have to have various courses in order to qualify for these existing jobs and up-and-coming jobs? Are there areas of study that are to be achieved first?
Mm-hmm. There really is a different educational career path for every type of job.
Uh-huh.
There's about 100 different careers in horticulture. Some of them require certification and training and on-the-job apprenticeship types of education. Others, 2- and 4-year degree programs. And we know that this is an issue where people just need information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have created within the Bloom campaign a digital hub of information at wearebloom.org. So parents and families and teachers can go there to discover, well, what are all of these different career opportunities and what do you need to pursue a career in horticulture?
Well,
kids were pretty clear with us that you have to use video and a really vibrant approach instead of just lists for them. So that's where our digital hub comes into play here at wearebloom.org. Wow.
So the message is to people that are looking for careers, whether they're coming out of high school or whether they're a little bit older and just looking to do something perhaps that might be more fulfilling for them. So how would they go about finding out how to do this?
Well, what we're trying to do with Bloom is reach kids both inside and outside of the classroom.
Uh-huh.
So we've created new materials for teachers and youth program leaders and parents. And outside of the classroom, we're using social content and videos, and all of that are found on our hub at wearebloom.org.
Okay. Huh. A lot of kids are confused as to what they want to do because kind of it seems like to me, to a layperson, that you go to school and then you get a job in technology sitting in front of a computer screen all day, which could be still part of horticulture, actually. But I guess it expands further than that. But that's, I think, is the only option that some kids think they have.
You know, we know that kids are looking at technology all day. They're looking at their phones. We want to be what they're looking at so that they can discover careers in horticulture. So that's why we're using the types of things that you can find at wearebloom.org with the videos. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on YouTube. And we know that that's what kids are looking at. So wearebloom.org hopefully can fill that gap for them.
So it's using technology to advance nature, kind of, in a way.
It's a great way to put it. What we like to say is that we want people to understand the opportunities in the plant world because we believe that the more they know about plants, the more they'll be able to make a difference in the world.
Well, we all live with them, but we don't think about these things. We take advantage of things that are around us. We see them, but we don't kind of think beyond what we're looking at, and that's kind of interesting. I think that's what you're talking about here.
Yes, plants really are everywhere, yet nowhere.
Yeah, well, you actually said that at the opening here. So you're trying to get into also the educational system to make them understand that these opportunities are available because that's probably been overlooked by educational experts as well.
Well, we're partnering with Scholastic because, we found through our research that it's about third grade when most schools in America stop teaching plant-based concepts and instead switch to animals and human biology.
Yep.
And what teachers told us they need are lesson plans and activities to help them infuse the plant-based concepts into what they're already required to teach. So that's where all of the new materials that we've created with Scholastic will be really helpful for teachers and both inside and outside the classroom and youth programs as well. So they can have some sample activities of what should we be doing with kids with plants and how do we connect it to careers in their future.
I mean, from a social point of view, I'm kind of thinking that we're getting so deep into the technology of mechanics that there's going to be a reverse when we go back to nature and go back to plants, plant-based diets, plant-based resolves for medical purposes, etc. It does seem to be the way of the future, and probably society has to take a little bit of a reverse in that direction as well.
Well, we want people to know that plants and horticulturists are really working to solve some of the world's most challenging problems with plants.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Where do we get more information?
So if you go to wearebloom.org, that is our digital hub where you can find all kinds of things, information to help kids and for kids to be able to find their own plant power. They can go through a quiz that we've developed based on their own interests, where at the end of the quiz they find their own plant persona and what interests them, and then help them hopefully explore the world of horticulture and a career with plants.
Very cool. Susan, thank you so much for talking to us about this today.
Thank you, Ron. We hope that you'll walk away with one message: that the more we know about plants, the more we can make a difference in the world today.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, Susan is really into plants. Okay. Hope you are too, kids, looking for a future in plants. Susan says, look into a future with plants. Most of my friends are plants. They act like plants. It's the way I like them. Have yourselves a wonderful day. This has been a lot of fun for me, he said, quote unquote, air quotes. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, have something to eat. Wash behind your ears, and I wish you peace. My God, what are your plants? Seriously, now you know.